Sometimes Forex trading can be a wild and woolly place to be. But Forex trading doesn't have to be the Badlands for you, partner. Instead, hunker down and bend your ear. You'll be burning the breeze in no time here at the Truth About FX Podcast.
Welcome, it's Walter here, and today we have a very special guest, a private trader, Enho Kuo from Canada. And Enho has a really interesting journey that he's going to share with us. And not only that, but he's going to show us how he's been using fundamental analysis in his trading and why this has been such a game changer for him. So he's going to talk about how trading is similar to diets and trying to lose weight. We're also going to talk about how there's this one barrier that Enho and many other traders have found in their trading. And once you get around this barrier, it really opens up your trading and can open up consistent trading results for you. Enho will show you what he did to get around this barrier and what his solutions were. And you can see if that may work for you as well. And finally, we're also going to talk about the time frame that Enho uses as a key resource for his trading. And he knows that other institutional traders and hedge funds use this as well, this chart as well, and he'll talk about how he uses this in his trading. We're going to talk about all of this stuff and more in this interview with Enho Kuo. So welcome, Enho.
Well, thanks for having me, Water.
Glad to have you here. So tell me a little bit about how you found yourself in trading. How did that happen for you?
So for me, it was really an interesting journey because I actually came from background that's completely nothing to do with trading, finance, or even math. So I got into it. Originally, I was really in the pursuit of a career in art. So really doing the filmmaking, acting, and things like that. And got into it because, you know, the art career was really hard to break in. But for me, you know, one night I saw infomercial. You know, those infomercial thing, you're like, hey, you buy this program, this software, and you just follow the signal, and then the money will come. So that's really how I got into it at in a very young age, at 21 years old. I saw the infomercial. I saw that, oh, this is it. This is my backup, you know, for me to keep doing art, and then I can be fine, just follow the signal. So that's really how I got into it. Of course, you know, those signal really don't work at the end of the day, but that pretty much hooked me into this industry.
Right. So that's interesting. So that was it was Forex trading that you signed up for? Is that what the product was?
No, it was a stock trading. So I started with stock maybe, you know, the first 5-6 years, and then switched to Forex at 2012, 2013, really, you know, a couple of years ago I start learning to do with Forex.
Right. And so what did you do after the buying the infomercial product or whatever? Did you start reading books or websites, or how did you sort of, you know, how did you get sort of up to speed?
I actually the first 5 years was really, really horrible. I didn't do anything, and that's, you know, I think the core part for me to even be here, this is just a wonderful journey, is that it's such a reflection of my life. Because when I first started trading, it's not like mentality that was totally wrong. You know, I was hoping the signal can make me money, and when it didn't, I just quit. So it's, for me, it's like you say, a cycle of doom. I switched not only strategy to strategy, but signal to signal, different asset class. I try stock and doesn't work. I say, okay, maybe I should try option. And doesn't work, I say, okay, maybe I should try futures. And it doesn't work, and then I say, okay, maybe it's not the right timing. So for me, it's really the first 5 years, it's not really a learning journey. It's more like just keep tripping over and getting wounded up and then just learning. So I didn't read anything, to be honest. The first 5 years, it's really like gambling. But that's also a little bit about my background. I don't know if we have time to get into it. But sure, yeah, because it's more easy to understand me. I was born in Taiwan, and my parents, you know, especially my dad, they caught up the trend of when China first opened the door. so my grandparents was farmers, but then things start changing for my dad's generation. So he caught up the booming of China, you know, 35, 40 years ago. And he started business there, and he basically became a multimillionaire. And then he had me when he was really late, like almost 40. At that time, especially, you know, was really late. So he had me. So I was virtually, you know, born into wealth, basically. So, you know, born into a silver spoon. So really wonderful resources, but it gave me a mentality of, you know, entitlement. And really, this didn't really give me a lot of good attitudes. So, and that's really reflect, why is it important? Because it reflect in the first half of my trading journey. It's really this, like, you know, easy to quit, I have no discipline, no persistence. And that's basically how I deal with challenges. And then that was reflected in my trading career in the first 5 years. So unlike, you know, a lot of people in forum, I think it's great. People really, people learn very fast. People learn from their mistakes. I somehow, you know, this nice environment somehow shield me from learning about myself or learning the reality of life. So the first 5 years of journey, this is the 10th year, but the first 5 years is really just like play around, not doing anything for trading or in life in general. So I start changing, you know, at the age of 25, 26, maybe it's age, maybe it's life. I start thinking like, hey, I need to actually learn this stuff. You know, I cannot keep buying the signal. It doesn't work. So that's where I start learning, you know, start picking up books. I just read books, and then, you know, pick up your books, I think 2012, 2013, and then it's just, at the beginning, same thing, you know, every time I read a book, I just try to find a shortcut. I always try to find a holy grail. So pretty much everything that you or all the trading books pointing out, all the mistakes, I have done it. That's why every time I tell people, you know, you can learn something from me, that maybe because I really made so much mistakes for such a long time, and partially because of my environment, which enabled me to really basically not giving me a wake up call. But that's really, you know, the whole big pictures. So I start with your book and start learning a lot more about psychology of trading. And then that's where things start changing, to realize that what is the why for every trader to even want to trade, to even want to use these means to make money, or what does money mean to each and every individual, you know? And that's why I do the psychological course, really, and that's really where my trading career start shift.
Really? So it wasn't the systems that worked for you, it was the, you're talking about the you get what you trade for psychology course. That's kind of, was that the catalyst for you, was it?
That is the catalyst, and that one, and then, you know, that was the beginning, and I started learning a lot of life coaching stuff. So I'm a huge, deep believer that having a great system is definitely very important, but you need to have the right psychology and you need to have the right attitude in terms of trading. And really, if you look at the big picture, there are so many systems out there, right? And all the system, everybody is talking about system. If system alone can work, then really you wouldn't have, you know, 85 or 90, I don't know what percentage of traders who are losing money constantly. And that's just, you know, the logic side, if you're really looking at it, it's definitely not the system alone. And that's what I argue. I think it's really the psychology. To get to know yourself is the key.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we have so many traders who are trading, quote, the same system, and they do in the totally different results. Yeah, that's right. So what did you learn about yourself, Enho, that was something that you kind of said, okay, this is, you know, this was the turning point? Because that's interesting to me that, I mean, it sounds like in the beginning, if I'm reading between the lines, what you were doing was you were looking for signals, and then when the signals didn't work, you kind of sort of partially blamed the market. Like, you know, you were doing stocks and then futures and options. So you totally switched markets after a failed, you know, endeavor with some signals. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's not only market I blame. I was blaming everyone. You know, every author, every books I read, I just feel like, oh, you know, these people, made me lose money. So that was really my mentality at the very beginning. And I think what's changing is when I took those psychology course, the interesting about market is really if you go there, and it's such a mirror of reflection. And really, like you say, you get what you want out of the market. So really to understand, why do you even want to take this trade? Or what is winning or losing mean to you? And those are the core part that really, that's a starting point. Then from there, you really reflect basically your whole life and understand why you're doing a certain action. Because I think most traders fail is, like I said, it's not a system. System is important, but like you said, a lot of people traders are trading the same system, but only few succeed. And it's really because a system, it virtually gives you a signal or give you analysis. But how you trade, how you manage, and how you deal with losses, that's really what sets a winning trader apart.
Yeah. So is that sort of the main thing that you what did you take away from the You Get What You Trade For course? It was that you needed to learn how to deal with losses. That was that part of your background that, you know, was affecting your performance as a trader or a signal follower? Or what was it that you were leveraging off of after, you know, getting those insights from the course?
I think most important thing is that we don't come to the market with a neutral perspective. Now, every one of us bring our habits into the market, and that habit was shaped by a lot of past events. You know, it's not like an EA where you put certain criteria and then the EA will work, right? If the EA doesn't work, then the signal or strategy doesn't work. But for traders, sometimes you sabotage your own system, you sabotage your own strategy. And the reason is because those old habits. So the first step from those course is really to understand exactly what's trapping you. What's trapping myself? What was my old habit? Because prior to that, you know, I pretty much blow up my account not only once, like three times. It just repeat this repeat action again and again, and every time with different system, with even different asset class. You know, very first view is stocks, then is forex. But I end up in the same situation. I blow up my account with different strategy, different asset class. And really what's trapping me is that old habit. So when taking those courses, really you need to find out what's that thing that trap you, exactly why you're doing the things that sabotage your own strategy, right? And that's I think is a core. So I always like to use it as an example for health. Like, we don't come to the gym as a perfect, you know, body with six abs. You definitely come there with extra fat. Or with a bad eating habits. So when you go there, you find a trainer, you're really trying to get rid of those bad habits. And once you get rid of those bad habits, then what's left will take care of itself. So my mentality for trading nowadays is exactly the same. I come to the market to eliminate or minimize the risk and also to tackle my own personality that trapped me. And once I remove those risks, once I remove those negative personality, then what's left, it's my own strength. What's left is a profit, and that profit will take care of itself. So that's basically my belief. And that's why the psychological course I took, that's basically what I learned, is really what's holding me back, and what behavior sabotage me, and most important thing is why. You know, what's that psychological effect?
Yeah, that's great. And I love the analogy. I think what's nice about trading, or perhaps confronting, is that when you trade, you are presented with your habits. It's like looking in the mirror. And a lot of other jobs that you might choose, you can get yourself in a situation where maybe you're wearing baggy clothes, maybe you're wearing a costume or something, and you don't really see yourself, you know, completely as who you are with all the love handles and everything that you talked about. And it's so true, because, you know, there's a lot of BS in other jobs when they have performance reviews and weird things like that, where they talk about how, what kind of a job you're doing. With trading, it's really quite simple. You just look at your balance. You just look at your trading sequence. You look at your statement, and that tells you where you're at. It's like looking at yourself in the mirror naked. There's nearly no hiding that. So you can't hide from that. So I think that's a great analogy that you use there. So that's fascinating to me that you really felt like the biggest gains you made in your trading were once you kind of discovered where these things were coming from, where your traps were in your old habits, and why that was sabotaging your trading. So how long was it before you saw things start to turn around for you?
I think after that psychological course, and I stopped losing, and that's, for me, you know, it come to this trading, I think, especially, you know, it took such a long time for me. It's really, I think my story is really like a recovery story, right? So I came here like a basically like a drug addict. So I'm like, I came there, and that's why I think nowadays, looking at myself, it's a great journey, because the progress is really working well. So right away, I eliminate those behavior. Basically, I believe that I stopped blowing up my account. So it's funny, most people, they blow up their account maybe once and they learn a lesson, but it took me really several accounts. And that's just the amazing part. Like once I shift and eliminate the bad habits, and I didn't even know, but then at the end of the year, I just realized, oh, I didn't blow up my account this year. You know, everything, money's still there. So it was a big surprise. It was even a big surprise for my dad, who basically, you know, funded those account. Because whenever I start any, you know, past experience, every time we met, we only met like once, twice a year, because he lives in Asia. But he always, when I talk about trading, he always like, oh, did you lose everything again? He's like, oh, yeah, I guess everything's gone. So since, I think, 2014, 2013, I started telling him. He was really surprised. He was like, oh, there's money left? Really? And I show him, and that's really my biggest joy, is like that my parents even start seeing this change, and they're like, oh, wow, you actually managing to hold on to it. And I know it sounds surreal for maybe people from different background, but it's just such a common phenomenon. You know, you as kids, you're born with a lot of entitlement, then you really don't accomplish anything in life, and you really so that's basically, you know, sort of big picture. So yeah, it took me really right away to really tackle that psychological issues, and the best tool, I guess, is really trading journal for me. I mean, Forex Tester and all those things is great for strategy. But for me, it's really to start writing journal, not only for trading, like for every day, basically. So that's what I took from there, and really understand, wow, if I can change my attitude and psychology, then my trading result actually change. And that was actually, why do I use a health result? Because that was the same year that I started to lose weight. So everything reflect together, and that's why I find it so fantastic. You know, since 2013, 2014, I stopped losing money and I started losing weight, and then start getting everything is in a better position.
That's great. So really for you, the big step was that the fact that your account was basically at break even. It wasn't losing anymore. Is that correct?
Yes. At the beginning, yeah. Yes.
So the course helped you with learning how to journal, and that helped you in your life outside of trading as well. So did you find yourself kind of, just as an aside, I'm wondering, did you find yourself sort of more aware of your thinking and the way that you approach things in everyday life? Was that part of the sort of the side effect, so to speak?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the best outcome, actually, to be self-aware. Because I think self-awareness is really number one key for everything in life. You have to be aware, then you can acknowledge your shortcoming. Then you can change with, you know, strategy and actions. But why most people fail to realize is they didn't even have that self-aware to begin with. So you're sort of in a cycle of denial, you know, and that's what you see all the time. I mean, I love to use this analogy with health, is because it's such a similar product, where you have so much diet method and strategy, yet, you know, obesity is such a huge issue. And you really have to wondering, don't we have enough, you know, health supplements, sports equipment, or even diet strategy and article from our doctors? Why is obesity still a big issue? It's like trading.
Yeah, exactly. In trading, it's very easy to start up as a retail trader. It's accessible to everyone, especially when you have high leverage stuff like Forex. So it's something that everyone can get into. So, you know, the other side of that is, why is it so easy to get into? Why is it so easy to pick up a diet book or a diet, you know, pills or whatever? And the reason why there are so many options out there is obviously it's a huge problem that there obviously are a lot of traders, the majority of traders, who don't do very well. There are a lot of people who are trying to lose weight who are unable to keep it off. And that's, you're right. It's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Where there's a huge problem like that, there are lots of potential solutions. And so I guess from my point of view and looking at, you know, your background, I wonder, why is it, do you think, that so many people have difficulties trying to make it work? Like, is it because they're not self-aware? Is it because they have the wrong system? I think I know what you're going to say, but what is it, do you think, that people are missing? Why do they get stuck in this cycle of doom that you spoke of earlier, where traders kind of find a system, trade it for a while, give up on it, go look for a new one, find a new one, trade it for a while, give up, go find a new one? Why do we get stuck in that cycle?
Of course, it's many reasons. You know, yes, some people have a bad strategy, but of course, many it's a psychological issue. But I actually heard from one of the traders that I really admire. I think just a couple of days ago, I realized that he said that number one reason a trader fail is actually laziness. It shocked me, and I realized that's actually true. Most people, if any problem that you're willing to make a decision to change, then you know, if you have psychological issue, you take those psychological course. If it's a strategy issue, you use Forex testers or you learn from other traders. But I think the mentality of shortcut, it makes sense, like you say, because it's so easy to, the barrier for trading industry, it's virtually none. Everybody with the money can open an account and start doing it. And that psychologically, you know, breed this kind of easy mentality into people's mind. So most people don't approach medical school with that attitude. They know it's going to be hard, and they prepare to work really hard, and they know that they might not even make it. But most people come to trading place with the mentality that, oh, it's going to be easy. You know, I'm going to make it very soon. So I think that's really a bias of trader, that we come to the market really with not a neutral mentality. It's really a lazy shortcut mentality. So really, that's what happened. Then the cycle of doom, it really comes from people quit very easily. And the reason quit easily is just because you somehow have this mentality that somebody else is making money quickly, faster than you. There must be some holy grail. And that's really the only phenomenon, I think, in trading, and also in health as well. We all come to here thinking that I buy this equipment, I'm gonna lose weight. So really, that's really an example I find in these two industry. The whole industry, basically, it's that's why you have so much scammer out there, because the whole industry is really set up for you to give you this illusion that it's gonna be easy, it's gonna be fast, it's gonna be great.
Yep, that's it. I mean, that's it. You nailed it. I mean, that's it. Really is the trading education industry's fault, where it's sold as if, you know, this is what you're going to do. You're going to plug this system in, or, you know, sign up for these signals, and then you're going to be drinking pina coladas on the beach. You don't have to worry about anything, which of course is a lie. I mean, trading is work like any other work. It's just a different type of work. So maybe you put your work in on yourself, on your psychology, or going through Forex Tester and pumping out volumes of data and statistics. You know, maybe you have to get a little bit more comfortable with statistics and numbers and projections than you all. You know, maybe you're not an accountant at heart or a statistician, but you've got to get your hands dirty. It's a different type of work. It means you get paid by taking risks instead of getting paid by spending time, trading your time for money as you do for most jobs. You actually make money by trading, you know, risk for money, essentially. And you know that obviously with that risk comes times when you're going to be down money. You're not always going to be up. So that's kind of, you know, I think you're right. I think that's one of the things I've thought a lot about this, and how, you know, on one hand, the big lie is sold as if you just do this and you're going to make money, and you don't have to do much. You can just relax. But there is a kernel of truth in that some of the most powerful trading systems and strategies are extremely simple. And so while that is true, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easy for you to execute those. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, simplicity is definitely not easy. Often in life, you know, when you walk further in life, you realize the simplest thing is really some of the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, okay, so maybe we can shift gears a bit and talk a little bit about where you are now, because what I find fascinating about your approach is that you are one of the few traders I know, Enho, who actually do well with quite a fundamental approach. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about your, you know, the way that you approach fundamentals, because I know those are kind of a key aspect to your trading.
Yeah, sure. I started last year, but the interesting thing is that why did I even start it? It's really from a psychological aspect. So I look at my trading, and prior to that, I was using LendingBox. LendingBox was another great strategy I learned from you and tweaked a little bit. And it was making money. I wrote my journal, and I just realized I still have this uncertainty is always there, but I just have this feeling of not enough. I'm not thinking about the result. I'm thinking about myself as a trader. And I realized that because of my background, I was very, again, not doing well in school and things like that. So I always purposely avoid any academic stuff. So I always purposely avoid the economic side of market. And the reason is this big disbelief that I don't think I have what it takes. And that's why in 2015, I start realize that something really bothered me. You know, in my 10th year of trading, why do I feel like I cannot tell people I'm a trader? I feel like, oh, it's this economic knowledge, this fundamental knowledge. But the thing is that it's not about that. It's like I ask myself, why didn't I even just pick up the book to read it? It's because it's disbelief that I think I will never understand the fundamental side. I will never understand this. So that's why I change right away. I find out that's a psychological aspect that trapped me. I say, hey, I'm going to start learning that. So at the beginning, I didn't really thought too much about that. I didn't know I'm going to use that as the main strategy. Now I was just saying that, hey, I'm going to learn more about the fundamental side. So I learned it and then really kind of fell in love with the approach. And that really spent whole last year basically just learning, practicing, forward testing. And that's what my main strategy now. And what does that do to me? Really, it's not about the knowledge. It's to, again, look back and saying that I actually did something that I didn't even believe I had what it takes to do.
That's great. So you're essentially pushing yourself. So it's interesting. I find that you... you know, you talk about not being comfortable academically. I find it fascinating that there are, I think a majority of people in the Western world who make it to the point where they've got several million in the bank. Oftentimes, a lot of those people don't really have much of an academic background. You know, that's not where they come from, which I find fascinating. It's almost as if the, you know, doing well in academically sort of puts you on a path where you end up working for someone else.
That's true.
Which is true. Anyway, so you decided I'm going to do this. This is something. So you're kind of pushing yourself. Is it fair to say that you're trying to stretch yourself out a little bit and sort of just make yourself a little bit uncomfortable?
Absolutely, yes. That's a key success factor, I think, for trading in life.
Yeah.
Is every year... Stretch yourself a bit year by year.
Yeah, okay. So how did you do it? So you learned more about fundamentals and you said, look, this is something I'm going to do and it's something that you're going to learn it. Even though you had this psychological barrier feeling like you're not particularly well suited for academic learning, you said, this is what I'm going to do. So, okay. So how did you go about this? Was there sort of a process of learning and testing, or how did you get to the point where you felt like, okay, this is working for me? Because what's interesting to me is that did you give up on the LendingBox trading system, on the breakout trading system, or did you just decide to add something to your portfolio of strategies?
The Linden box, I started tweaking it, I think, 2015, 2014, to just reduce the drawdown of that strategy. That right now, and after I do the, you know, back tasting, forward tasting, I think, which I'm going to share in the seminar, because I think it's a great automatic system, and it really depends on whether you can tolerate the drawdown for that. But the beauty is that you only trade really like 5 minutes a day, and they just let it run.
Right.
So, but I personally don't do it in live money. It's because the drawdown does not fit to where I want to be for now.
Right.
So right now, really, I'm looking to have very little drawdown versus profit, and that's just because I'm building this portfolio, and really, that's the number one thing. People say they want to see in the portfolio. So that's my, I have a specific goal. That's why I don't do that kind of any strategy, basically. If it's a high, if it has a high drawdown, it's not fit for me at this stage, but it can be a wonderful strategy, you know, for different people with different agenda. So I stopped doing London box with live money, and then, but basically I completely, and I think it's a great strategy. Again, I'm gonna wish to share it in a conference, and I start doing the fundamental. And the reason I like it, it just fits me psychologically, or where I want to be in where I want to be, basically.
Right. Okay. So you've decided, so you're using fundamentals. So what's your process? Like, how do you, is it like you read certain sources, or are you, you know, is it interest rates, or what's the basic skeleton outline of how you make your decisions, I guess?
So the technical side, it's really virtually the same. You know, the strategy side, I still use daily big shadow, kangaroo tail. And I think, you know, having fundamental knowledge, it's really a great tool, because you just combine with your existing strategy. So I'm tasting, you know, to use it with other strategy that people on your forum use, just combine with a little bit fundamental side. So basically, strategy-wise, technical strategy-wise, it's virtually the same. The difference is really how you approach the market. So I do approach you with fundamental side. I do read, you know, I basically start, I'll say nowadays, 90% of my trading is done outside trading. So I read news, read a lot of articles, then you really approach market like analysis, basically. You write your report on what happened today or this week before I even open my chart. That's what I do. And I pick up the strong currency versus the weak one, and the reason why it is strong, and what could have happened in the next catalyst. And then I go to daily chart, I maybe look at if there's a signal, a reversal signal, or continuation signal, and then that's where I go about trading. Now, the only different thing is I also trade risk events, and as you know, you trade non-farm payroll yourself. So same thing, we, you know, waiting for the surprise, but different things, I have more thorough analysis to decide which direction to take or to match up with which currency. Because currency is really, it's not like buying stock. You're really just buying a strong country and sell the weak country. And that what's a fact that belief is the fundamental data and the sentimental event. So that's basically, you know, in the ballpark, that's my strategy nowadays.
Yeah. And so what have you found in terms of results? How has this worked for you in terms of the bottom line?
The bottom line is, first is reduced drawdown a lot. It's because I basically take very little trade, very selective. And that's the first thing. So I reduce a lot of drawdown, which is my basic number one goal. And second thing is really, it's more like internal confidence that you know why you take this trade, exactly what's the big picture, why you take this trade. And another important thing is the management. Because the management with fundamental trading is very dynamic. Unlike before, maybe I really go all 1-to-1, 1-to-2, things like that. Really nowadays, what makes me to stay or exit the trade, it's always the fundamental reason or the sentimental events. So that means some trade I might exit early, some trade I might hold on very long. Sometimes I move my stop loss, sometimes I don't move my stop loss. So if you look at a ballpark in the technical side, you find it's chaotic, it's sort of random, like why are you doing here and that. But that's basically in the fundamental reason.
That's interesting. So would you, for example, say you're in a trade and then one of the pairs in the trade, they change their interest rate. Is that an example of where you might get out?
Yeah, definitely. If it's a surprise change, then that's definitely a big enough event to get out. Because maybe you got in the trade with different reason. Now the whole picture changed. So you definitely get out. But not all data are equally important, right? So, but interest rate is, of course, very important, especially when it's not announced. So basically, I think it's trading a belief. It's trading a belief. It's like today, you saw Britain Prime Minister gave out a speech and a huge rally into British pound. And if you look at the fundamental side, nothing has changed. Really, we're just still in a it's basically a talking process. Different talk. And in the reality, nothing has changed, but the belief of traders has shifted.
Right. So, for example, let's say you have a currency, like, let's take, for example, the pound. You just talked about the pound. So let's say that you see the pound in a downtrend, and then you see something like this where Prime Minister is speaking about the country and there's a bit of a rally. So do you see sort of the major fundamental pieces driving a market, a currency pair, in this example, the pound against the USD, in a certain direction, and then these little sort of minor rallies or retracement moves are based on sort of like almost like insignificant news and things that kind of prop it up for a little while, but then it sort of re-engages in the trend. Is that kind of how you see it? Like you have more important pieces of information that drive the market and then these lesser important pieces of information that kind of just create little sort of minor rallies and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. That's really, you know, right on. That's really in the ballpark. So the perspective, because of that, so you really, the way you trade it, like it's very dynamic. The way you put your stop loss, it's virtually, you know, you just don't want to get this kind of whipsaw because it's from a lot of small movement. But essentially, you want to write down the fundamental side of the picture.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's say you're in a position on the dollar yen and you see the dollar yen going up, up, up. So the dollar is gaining against the yen. And then you notice that, let's say this is a Monday and you're still in your long position on the dollar yen. But then you see that Thursday, some important news is going to come out. Do you kind of look at that and think, well, maybe that's a place where I might get out depending on how, you know, are you sort of anticipating, depending on how that news goes, maybe if the CPI is really bad or something like that, you know, how do you manage that? Or you just simply wait for the news to come out and then make your decision? Or do you kind of anticipate, go, well, this has been going on for a long time. It looks like it's heading to some resistance here. Maybe, you know, that news comes out on Thursday and that's where we see the turnaround or at least a really deep retracement. Do you anticipate moves like that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's exactly how basically you trade your scenario. So, you know, before the news come out, you have different scenario. You tell yourself, hey, what happened if the CPI is a beat? What's going to do to US dollar? What happened if it's a negative deviation? Or what happened if it's a mixed result? So that's basically you have different scenario. And then in this different scenario, what you're going to do with different action plan. So when the result come out, you really just wait to see which scenario that it plays into. And sometimes, of course, you know, it reacts completely in the opposite side of your scenario. And that's really just the market itself. There's so much you can do and anticipate it, but sometimes you don't know how fast people switch their belief. Especially, I think, recently, you know, you saw this big event, especially the U.S. election. It's just such a huge shift. That belief switched right away. And that's I find it fascinating. That's why I really like this kind of approach. It's basically you're trading your own observation, your own imagination, and then you see if it match up to the trading result.
Right. Interesting. So here's a question for you, because there are some funds, some private funds that essentially use a very fundamental approach. So they get some ideas, they think that they expect something to happen over the next couple of years, and they lock into these positions based on that idea. Now, some of these funds don't really do much in terms of trying to time their entry. So let's say that someone's looking to sell USD and buy Japanese yen, for example. Well, and all the reasons that they're doing this are purely based on fundamental reasons. So they think that the yen is really going to gain in the next couple of years, but they don't really spend a whole lot of time trying to time these entries. Would you ever do something like that, or do you also have that technical side to your trading where you're using precise entries based on technical analysis?
I still use technical analysis because technical analysis is as important as fundamental, I think. I know a lot of people like to debate which one is important. I think why not have all? I think the more tools you have, if you manage well, then it's of course gonna help you have a better edge. So yeah, technical analysis essentially it's for me again it's a reflection of trader's action. And that's essentially it's a very important part. If fundamental alone works, which they do, but if that's really the only tool, then your economic professor will all be a very good trader, because the technical side it's not only you time the market, but also you see exactly how traders reflect in their action, and technical chart just shows you that. So that's a very important part.
Yeah. And so since you've adopted this approach with using fundamental analysis to drive your trading decisions, while still keeping technical analysis as your tool and using that to make precise entries, do you find something that was surprising that you didn't anticipate? Is there anything that's interesting you think, wow, I didn't think that this would happen for me or something like that?
For me, it explained a lot of time before when I do pure technical. A lot of time we say, "Oh, the signal get busted," or "the signal doesn't work," or, things like that. And sometimes especially for me, I get frustrated, or I just say, "Okay, that's a part of drawdown, right? You have a strategy. If it's pure technical base, you just keep following whenever signals show up. If you completely ignore the fundamental side, then you do have to tolerate through those drawdown period. And back then for me, I think that's just part of the game. But right now I feel like, oh, now I know the reason why, because I shouldn't even get into this pair in the first place, because in the fundamental picture, it's just completely do you disservice. So that's why I find out, wow, it does always reflect back to the fundamental side. So for me, I'm really, really using that to eliminate a lot of losers. I will say that's the biggest advantage I find, because you're really looking at in bigger pictures.
And do you find yourself trading mostly higher time frames, like daily or weekly or 4 hour, or how do you enter?
I try different time frames. I find daily it's definitely a very good time frame. It's because that's really where most traders or hedge fund traders look at, right? That's the industrial standard. You look at the New York close and really tell you what happened for the past three sessions, what happened today, basically. So daily is really valuable. In terms of risk events, it's not really matter the time frame. Some of my risk events, I depend on the result, I just jump in if there's a surprise. And how I manage it, actually, it's really depend on my own psychology, how much conviction you have.
Ah, that's interesting. So your psychology basically determines how you manage it.
Yes, definitely. I actually have something I want to share in a conference, is that, we have the fundamental analysis, sentimental analysis. The fundamental, you look at data. Sentimental, really, you look at news, events, and read through the lines. And the technical analysis, I think those are common. But for me, I have psychological analysis. And that psychological analysis is really the key to management, my trade. I'll give you an example. When people say that, oh, how long should you hold your trade, or when should you get out, that is really a psychological reason for yourself. And if you don't get that down, you just follow somebody else, you will always feel something's wrong. So for me, I have this I call it wheel of pain, is that I analyze myself to say, okay, what kind of scenario I often feel most painful? And that I line up and I try to avoid those scenarios. For example, one of the most painful scenario for me is to give back what I made. So for me, to lose a trade right away is actually okay. But to make maybe 80% of one-to-one and only to give everything back and become a loser, that really bothers me. So I actually use that to decide how I manage my trade. and I time it with shorter time frame. If I'm more convicted, I let it run and I use hourly, 4 hour, or even daily. If I'm less convicted, I use maybe 15 minutes or 5 minutes to time the trade. But one thing is that I generally don't get out of the trade. I generally tighten my stop loss. So why I use different time frame? Just I use different bar. You know, I use 3 bar exit. I use different bar to let the market exit me.
Right. So that's interesting. So you generally tighten your stop loss. So you get popped out of the trade when it hits your stop, like a trailing stop, rather than deciding, okay, I'm going to get out now.
Yes.
And do you think that? Because I really like this idea of the wheel of pain, and looking forward to seeing this at the event. But I wonder if you think that one of the reasons why so many traders might find it difficult to find consistent profits is they're not really considering this idea, which is what sort of scenario is going to be most difficult for me to handle, and using that to base their decisions, basically, rather than allow the market to blow them around like a leaf in the wind. So I wonder if that's something that you think is a core reason why many traders experience difficulties in the market.
Basically, if you're able to make money in your testing software but not in real life, and really that comes down to the psychological issues, and that issue I do think, yeah, 90% of, once you get a strategy all right but you still have a trouble making money, or you still blow up your account, then yeah, that's definitely a psychological issue that only you can find out the issue. So that is really the hardest part, because people can give you tools to guide you to how to find out those issues, but you have to do the work to really find out what's those psychological pain that traps you. And that's really the hardest part, because we as a human don't like to, you know, like you said, self-awareness. We don't like to look at our own shortcomings. We don't even like to acknowledge that. Some of those things are very emotional, and a lot of people just don't want to go to those places.
Yeah, exactly right. So, okay, so that's fascinating. So if you're not making money in your live account, but you can go back in Forex Tester or whatever testing software you use and do quite well, then obviously the issue there is in the execution. It's a psychological issue, which is stopping you from, or it's some sort of barrier that's keeping you from executing as you do in your testing. That makes a lot of sense. It's also, I suppose, why it's so easy if you examine trading contests. And you look at trading contests where the traders are trading a demo account, and you look at their results, and then you compare that to the live trading accounts and the live contests where all the traders in that contest are trading with live accounts, you'll notice a great disparity between the leader in the demo account has a 10,000% return, whereas the leader in the the live account might have a 200% return. And I think that's also exactly what you're talking about here. It's psychologically very different when you're trading for real money. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So okay. So let's talk about some of the things that we're going to learn at the event. So you're going to show us your wheel of pain, and you're going to show us, what else are you going to show us in terms of fundamental analysis and your trading? I guess one thing that comes to mind, and I'm just curious if you've tested this idea, because you've traded the breakout system with the London box or whatever. You've traded that for a long time quite successfully with really, really high reward to risk ratio and possibly a lower win rate than a lot of traders can deal with. I'm wondering if you used or you tested some of your fundamental ideas and overlaid those on the London box. Is that something that you may have looked at, or kind of tweaked the London box system to fit sort of your fundamental analysis procedures, or is that something that you looked at?
That's something the core part of those higher ratio thing is what I look at as a baseline. So for me, I realized the reason a lot of people look at London box and they feel like, oh, this is such a low winning rate, it's too risky. But the invention of London box is really to be risk averse, at least for me at the time, because I hate losing. And then for me, the mentality is really that if you can win once and then you can lose 10 times, for me that's a risk averse psychological point of view. So I do think that's really across the board for all strategy. If you definitely, of course, you have a higher ratio And then higher winning rate, that you got a really great strategy. Of course, sometimes it doesn't work that way. So I do incorporate that baseline into it. A different second thing about London box is I do understand fundamentally why it works in the first place. Because I try, that was British pound versus Japanese yen, but I also try euro versus yen, dollar versus yen, and I realized why pound yen works so well. It's because the personality of the currency, that one is a safe haven currency and the other one is a risk on sentiment currency. So they always have this inverse relationship. And on top of that, they both are very volatile. That's why they can hit that 10 to 1 or even more ratios. So that was one thing that's fascinating to me. I realized, oh, that's why only works in this pair.
Right. Yep. That makes a lot of sense. Yep. And so the currency, the market itself is really kind of the driver behind the success of the system. So right now, with your fundamental analysis, you're trading all different types of markets, aren't you?
Right now, I'm still do currency, but I do look at all market. I look at equity, oil, commodity, everything. Everything's correlated. But my main part is still in currency. And in the future, I do want to start extended to maybe futures in more in a gold commodity, things like that.
Right. Yeah.
But as for now, I still mainly do currency trading.
Right. And you trade many different types of New Zealand yen and Aussie CAD and those sorts of crosses, or do you stick to the majors?
No, as long as it's the eight, the sort of the main eight countries, then I do all those pairs together. I have like 28 pairs in total. But it has to be with those eight major countries.
Got it. Yeah. So you're looking for a lot of strength versus weakness to make, sort of cherry pick, aren't you? You don't take a lot of trades, but you look for the obvious ones based on your analysis.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what we're going to learn at the event. So I'm curious. So you've got the Wheel of Pain, right? And you're going to show us how to pick strong versus weak markets. So like, for example, let's see that the data that you read says the Canadian dollar is going to be really, really weak. And then you're reading that the New Zealand dollar is going to be really, really strong for whatever reason. This is what you've come to. So you might be looking at a New Zealand CAD trade or something like that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. At the event, I really want to just basically lay out, a complete package. Like, how do you really approach the market, at least for me, and then really talk about the fundamental side, sentimental side, and technical side. And really, I like to give out a seed, then people can really grow on their own from there. And that's what I wish to bring there. And I especially will emphasize a lot on the psychological side. And maybe bring a lot of resources, because for me, I really think the key part is that I sometimes look at myself and really amazed, why am I here? This kind of thing, like how come I'm saying that in a good way, like how did I be able to do all these things? Especially in your forum, there's a lot of academic people, very smart people. So I feel like, hey, if I can do it with this simple strategy or simple layout, then people can really grasp that concept. So yeah, in the event, I do like to talk about the psychological analysis, the Wheel of Pain. I like to give out a random box. I do a little bit tweak so people can play around with it, and then really talk about how to approach the fundamental side from a non-economic majors. Basically just normal people. How do you really learn? Just it's really not that hard. And then how do you incorporate that with the technical side?
Yep, that makes sense. It's one of the interesting things that I hear when we talk about trading with somebody is they say, oh, you must be really smart. You must have to keep on top of all this news and all that sort of thing. But what you're saying is it's not necessarily that complex. You don't have to be an economics major or have a background at a bank or whatever to understand how what to look for and how to do it.
True. I think you need to have that trader's attitude. That's really the most important thing.
Right. That's interesting. So yeah. So I mean, you're like living proof. You're someone who has an arts background, right? And you're digging into the economic news and the economic data and that sort of thing and making it work with your trading, right? I mean, that's really kind of a, when you step back and look at it, you've said, look, I'm not a person who's necessarily an academic. That's not my comfort zone, and yet I'm able to do this. So it's obviously not something that's beyond the reach of everybody. It's something that you can do. You just got to practice at it, I suppose.
True.
Yeah. All right. Well, Enho, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us? Is there anything that we missed out on, or any last bit of advice for those people that perhaps someone's listening to this and they're thinking, well, I don't know if I can ever get there. I mean, sure, I've gone through 4.5 years of struggle. You went through several years of struggle before clicked in for you. But is there something that you want to share with some of the listeners here that are thinking, yeah, that sounds great for you, Enho, but I don't know how it's going to work for me. Is there anything that you want to offer as advice?
I think the first thing people they can do, you know, without even understanding anything about market, is really understand that trading, at least for me, I think trading happens outside the market. So if you are able to develop that mentality of a trader, a personality of a trader outside the market, then you will see it reflect in your other areas of life. So for people to, you know, maybe they feel very excited, they want to jump into trading right away, I really, you know, encourage people to really look at their life first. Basically, go through those kind of a life awareness process. And it sounds a bit hideous for people to say, oh, I just want to get into it, I just want a strategy, make it work. But the sooner you get your own psychological life in check, then the less barrier you will have further down the road. So actually, don't be too rushed to learn the strategy and all those. Those things are really, once you start to, you realize those are the easy part. The hard part is yourself. So I understand that, learn yourself, and will reflect in both ways. I do believe a real good trader often have other areas of life in check, in a relationship, in other, you know, happiness, things like that. And that's what I think.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, thanks so much, Enho, for sharing. Looking forward to hearing from you at the conference and seeing what you are able to share. I'm sure it's going to be great. And I really appreciate all of your, you know, what you offer to those traders in the forum as well, because you've done a great job of showing people how you approach things. And it's been really good. Some of your webinars, you know, obviously some of the most interesting ones in there, really, I think, because you have a unique approach. And I think a lot of traders can get a lot out of some of the nuggets that you're sharing. So I really, really appreciate this. And I'm really looking forward to the London conference.
Well, thank you very much, Walter. I'm so excited to go. Yeah, it's great. You put in London too. I love London.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'll see you soon. And I again, thank you so much, Enho. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.